Today, I will continue for Ephesians chapter 1, 15 to 23. The last time I go up to verse 17, right? Paul saying, I keep asking. Why would Paul say, I keep asking? Because you ask it once, you may not get it. You ask it twice, you may not get it either. You have to keep asking until you get it. What did he keep asking? If you keep asking something, that means must be good stuff, right? What's the good stuff? The only way for you to know God better, you have to keep asking. If you don't ask, you only know God with so little knowledge. God wants you to know him fully. So in order to know him fully, you have to keep asking, because that's good. And how come I know that when Paul keeps asking, that God will give it to him? Do you remember at one point in time, there's a thorn in the flesh of Paul, and he asked God 3 times to take it away of such pain? And God say, my grace is sufficient for you. I don't take it away. Because with that thorns in his flesh, so that he will be humble. So he asked once, twice, and 3 times. And yet the Lord say, you don't have to keep asking. I won't give it to you. Because that thorn in your flesh is for your own good. So that you be humble and be greatly used by God. But in this incident, when he keep asking God, so that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that's what we have to put it down. Remember that in 1:5, we have the spirit of sonship. Because you are adopted as a son, 1:11 to 14, you have the spirit of inheritance. Now, 1:17, the Lord wants you to have the spirit of wisdom. And revelation. He wants you to have this spirit of wisdom and revelation. Because once you have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, you will know him better. Okay? Now, do you know how to pray now? If you wasn't a believer, you should pray, Lord, give me the spirit of sonship. You ask Jesus Christ to enter into your heart so that you be a believer. If you do not have God's Spirit, you are not his son. Okay? When you are adopted as his son, he will give you the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit will dwell within your heart until you see Jesus Christ face to face. Once you become God's son, you have to have the spirit of inheritance, because you will make heir, verse 11. We will make heir, having been predestined what? Predestined to be adopted, 1:5, to be adopted as his son, in accordance with his pleasure and will. That's God's will, that's God's pleasure. He wants you to be his son through adoption, through Jesus Christ. Okay? To be adopted as his son through Jesus Christ. If you do not believe in Jesus Christ, you believe in something else, you can never be God's son. You got that? So it's not good enough to have the spirit of sonship. It's not good enough to have the spirit of inheritance. We want to have spirit of wisdom and revelation. And how do I get that? Just like what Paul said. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. Okay? You have the spirit of sonship, you become God's son. Okay? You have the spirit of inheritance, you become God's heir. Okay? You have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, then you know Him better. Our knowledge of Jesus Christ should grow as we grow older. And then Paul, on top of that, right after Paul asking for the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better, know God better, and Paul keep praying. He said, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. When your eyes of your heart are enlightened, three things will happen. Verse 18 to 19. One thing, the first thing, from 18, in the verse 18, there's two things. I write it down like this, okay? 1:18, two things will happen. 1:19, the third thing will happen. I want to pray first. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We don't just want to know you in a shallow way, superficial way. We want to know you in a deeper way. We want to walk with you. We want you to live within us and we live within you too. So that when people look at us, they see Christ live within our body. So that your name be glorified and people can come to know you. And I also pray that the eyes of our heart may be enlightened today, so that we know the three things that you want us to know. Because that's very, very important. If we know these three things, we will know God better. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What's the first thing God wants us to know so that we can know Him better? Is to know the hope. The hope to which He has called you. What kind of hope He talking about? You write that down right beside here. The hope. You write down one hope. The hope in 1:18 is equal to one hope in 4:4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. One body, one spirit, and one hope. And what's that hope we talk about? The last time we talk about that hope is 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. This hope. What's this hope? It's like Christ. God called you to speak like Christ, live like Christ, walk like Christ. That's the hope that God wants you to know, that He wants to give it to you. Okay? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. God called you to be his son. God called you to follow him. He wants you to have the hope. That hope is one hope, as we call it in Ephesians 4:4. And this one hope is to be like Christ, as written in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. And let me read that to you again. First John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, that means when the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be like him, circle the word like him. For we shall see him as he is. Verse 3, everyone who has this hope, circle the word this hope, and link like him together. Everyone who has this hope in Christ Jesus, purify himself just as he is pure. So, in order for us to know him better, we have to have the hope. We have to have the goal. If your goal is to be like Christ, so you will know God better and better every day. Okay? Any question? In here, the hope. Whenever you see in the Bible, the hope, there's one hope, no other hope. You remember Jesus say? In Gospel of John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus say, I am the way. The way? That means the only way. There's no other way. If there's a lot of other way, the Bible will say, a way. Jesus Christ, he didn't say, I am a way. No. He say, the way. No other way. The only way. Okay? So that's why the hope in 118 equal to one hope, one and only one hope that we have in 4:4, and also means this hope in 1 John chapter 3 verse 3 and equivalent to like Christ in 1 John chapter 3 verse 2. Any question? Donald? No question? So the hope that we have. What's the hope? To become like Christ. This is the glorious one. If you become like Christ, I tell you one thing. Whatever God has given it to Jesus Christ, you're going to be heir of God, co-heir with Christ, you get everything. Apart from Christ, you get nothing. Okay? That's our hope. That's the hope. That's one hope. That's this hope. To be like Christ. Second thing. Verse 18. Chapter 1, verse 18. The riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. The riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. So what does it mean? It's loaded with word. What it really means is, when we have this hope, when we live like Jesus Christ, God going to use you to bring a lot of other non-Christian to come to know Christ. If we don't act like Christ, if we don't speak like Christ, then we are not the salt of the world, the light of the world. People will despise us as Christians. But if you live like Christ, walk like Christ, talk like Christ, speak like Christ, people will honor you, people will follow you. When people follow you, you bring them to God. You share the gospel to them. Remember that the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, we are the salt of the world. If the salt lost its saltiness, what happened? People trample on you, despise you. So that's why a lot of non-Christians, they despise Christians. They will be foolish to despise Christians, but they did it. If they despise Christians, then Christians cannot share the gospel to them to bring them to Christ, right? So it's sad. Okay? Now, the riches, God wants us to know the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saint. When we live like Christ, God's going to use us, use our life, use our speech, use our deeds, use our action to bring people to come to know our glorious Father. So that's why God expects to receive riches of His glorious inheritance in the saint. He wants to use you, He wants to use me to bring people to Christ. If we have this hope to be like Christ, then we can bring a lot of people to come to know Christ. Okay? Now, what about us? What do we receive? If you bring a lot of people to Christ, that means you honor God, you glorify God, God going to reward you and honor you and glorify you. You understand? In here, it looks like only talk about God's aspect. But if you honor God, glorify God by bringing people to come to know Him, whatever you pray to God, God's going to answer you. Where does it say? Would you please turn? Gospel of John. Chapter 15. Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 16. The Bible says, Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you. I chose you." Jennifer, do you remember in Ephesians chapter 1? God chose you in Him. In what verse? Verse 4. See? You're a smart girl. If you do not memorize Bible verses, you don't even know what I'm talking about. Do you know? Ringo? You don't. Why? You don't memorize. You see a difference? For He chose us in Him, in verse 4, before the creation of the world. Why would He choose you? Because He chose you to be holy and blameless in His sight. Right? Now, go back to what Jesus is saying. 15:16 of Gospel of John. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit." Why would Jesus choose you and appointed you? Because He wants you to go. Don't just stay within the church. You stay within the church, you don't bear fruit. You go outside to the non-Christian. You tell them about Jesus Christ. Then they will bear fruit. Okay? Circle the word "to go" and bear fruit. You don't bear fruit within the church. A lot of people, they only serve God within the church. And the church is dying because they don't bear fruit. The only way to bear fruit is to go outside the four walls within the church. Because there's a lot of non-Christian outside the four walls of the church, of the church building. So that's why, to go and bear fruit. What happens if the fruit that will last? Take a look at the promise. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Do you want your prayer to be powerful? Christopher, how can your prayer be powerful? Daniel, do you know? To ask in his name? What else? A lot of people pray to God and ask in his name. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and yet the Lord did not answer you. So what's the Bible verses you memorize? What did the verse 16 saying of chapter 15 of Gospel of John?
Verse 15, 16,
what did it say? Do you want your prayer to be powerful? Donald? How can my prayer be powerful?
You have to go and bear fruit.
Christopher, do you want your prayer to be powerful? How? Where does it say?
John 15, verse 16.
Read that.
You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name.
Can you imagine? Jesus said to go and bear fruit, and yet a lot of Christians stay in a church, only come on Sunday, but do not bear fruit. No wonder their prayer are fruitless, because they don't go and bear fruit. You don't listen to the Father, you don't listen to Jesus Christ, our Lord, and when you are in need, when you are in want, you pray to him, he said, you don't listen to me. Right? Michael? Do you want your prayer to be powerful? Do you want the Lord to answer your prayer? How?
To go and bear fruit.
How do you go and bear fruit? If you go to the school and beat people up, will you bear fruit? How do you bear fruit? How? Do you know? Charlie?
Bring people to church.
Bring people to the church. When non-Christian come to the church, because you invite them to come to the church, by then they hear the gospel. Hopefully, they understand. But most of the time, they don't. Can you tell me why they don't understand? Because what's the reason why they do not understand? Jean? Do you remember the first time you come to the church? You hear the gospel? You hear the sermon? Do you understand?
No.
You don't. What's the reason why you don't understand? Because you don't have the Holy Spirit within your heart. You are not God's son. You are not God's child. When the Heavenly Father speaks to you, you don't recognize his voice. Who are you? You thought it's human being speaking to you. Do you remember when Samuel was young? Was really, really young? The Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father spoke to him. He thought Eli, his teacher, speaking to him. Remember that? Right? Until his teacher tell him, no, I didn't talk to you. God speaking to you. Then he start learning to understand God's voice, recognize God's voice. Okay? In order for us to understand him, we have to have the Holy Spirit. In the same way, in order for this television to receive the television wave, you have to have antenna. If you do not have antenna to receive the television wave, you will have what? It's not clear, the vision. You have a lot of static too, right? Same as a radio. You have to have a radio antenna in order to receive the radio wave. Once you have the antenna, you can receive the radio wave. The radio can give you the voice. In the same way, in order for us to receive God's word, we have to have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help us to understand God's word. And how can I have the Holy Spirit? You have to open your heart to receive Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, and then you baptize. Once you become born again, you start recognize God's voice. Just like a child, you don't have to teach him. The child will know who is his or her mother that give her or him milk. You don't have to learn that. You know it right away. That's by instinct. We know that. Once you have the Holy Spirit, you recognize God's voice, and then you start to know him. And as you grow older, Paul teaching us, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. As we go to the school, we learn more new stuff, right? So we understand things a little better, day by day, right? In the same way, we have to learn the Bible every day so that we know God better every day. Okay? But although the non-Christian come to the church, they may not understand God, but they won't totally misunderstand him either, because the Holy Spirit will move the non-Christian, saying to the non-Christian, this is God's word, you better believe. But at the same time, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, to those who are non-believer, what do they have? The spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. The evil spirit is working against them. The evil spirit will say to the non-Christian, don't believe in God's word. Okay? But the Holy Spirit will also move the non-Christian, say, you better believe in God's word or else you go to hell. But the evil spirit say to a non-Christian, don't believe in that. You understand? So that's why you have a lot of struggle. Do you remember, Jean, that before you come to know Christ, do you have struggle to believe in Jesus?
Yes.
Right? That struggle is from the evil spirit. Okay? The Holy Spirit can work within you. At the same time, the evil spirit can work within you too. And how do I know whether you have the evil spirit working in you or the Holy Spirit working in you? It depends. What did he say? If he say to you, believe in the word of God, believe in Jesus Christ, that is the Holy Spirit. If he say to you, don't ever believe in that, that is the evil spirit. The evil spirit going to lead you to hell. Okay? I don't even know at that time. Until I read the Bible, wow, scary. I'm glad. I am glad that I yield to the moving of the Holy Spirit. I say, Lord, I open my heart and believe in you. Before, I don't even know. Okay? You understand? That's why when you share the gospel, you talk to your friends who is a non-Christian about Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden, he or she become angry right away. You know why? the evil spirit within his heart or her heart make him or her angry at hearing the word of Christ. Because the evil spirit know that the moment you believe in the word of God, you remember in verse 13, chapter 1, and you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, not the word of falsehood, the word of truth. When you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. The moment you open your heart to believe in the word of truth, deny the word of falsehood, because the evil spirit wants you to believe in the word of falsehood that lead you to hell. And you stop him from saying to you, don't bother influencing me. I make up my mind to believe in the word of truth, to believe in the word of God, Jesus Christ. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit enter into your heart and stamp you with the ownership that belongs to Jesus Christ. Give you a seal of ownership. That's the promised Holy Spirit. The moment you yield to the moving of the Holy Spirit is the same moment the Holy Spirit entered within your heart. If you yield to the temptation, the falsehood of the evil spirit, then when you hear the word of truth, you become very angry. Do you know why you become very angry? You are afraid. When you believe in Jesus Christ, the evil spirit will be kicked out. The Holy Spirit will enter in. He has no place to stay. You understand? Do you understand? Could you tell me in Chinese? You can do it in Cantonese. What do you have within your heart now?
Evil spirit.
Evil spirit? Do you want evil spirit to remain within your heart?
No.
And what should you do? To believe in Jesus? To believe in Jesus? Okay. And what did the Bible say in Mark chapter 16, verse 16? Mark 16, verse 16. Donald, could you help him? Help Ringo. Mark 16, 16. Could you read that to me?
Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned.
Say that again.
Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned.
Is that Jesus saying? Right? Jesus said, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. If you have the Holy Spirit within your heart, could you read that? 16:16.
Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned.
Could you read in Chinese?
信的受洗的必定得，教不信的不被定罪。
So did you believe? Did you believe in this statement? Do you believe in this statement? You believe in this statement? I don't think so. What did he say? Whoever believes and is baptized. To be believed and is baptized. You don't just say believe and I don't baptize, then you don't believe. BB. Whoever believes and is baptized will be what? Moses will be saved. Did you believe? See, you didn't believe. So that means, what do you have within your heart? You want the evil spirit to be remain in your heart? No? Really? Then what should you do? Tell me. But do you want to be baptized? You don't know. Yeah. Daniel, do you understand? What do you have within your heart?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. When have you been baptized?
4 years ago.
4 years ago. How old are you at that time?
Seven.
7 years old. How old are you, Ringo?
14.
He has more biblical knowledge than you are. How are you, Daniel?
11.
You're 14. You know what I mean? He was baptized when he was 7 years old. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. He's 5 years old boy in Christ Jesus. If I ask him to turn to Mark, he didn't have to go to the index to look for Marks. You don't even know Mark is in New Testament or in Old Testament. Daniel, could you turn to Mark 16 and 16? You're already in. Could you turn to Galatians to me? See? He didn't turn to Old Testament. He knows Galatians is before Ephesians. You understand? Can you see a difference? Gabriel, do you know where is Mark? Is it in Old Testament or in New Testament? In New Testament? Okay. You see that? So that's why God wants us to know Him better. You want to know Him better? First of all, you got to flip the Bible to know which is Old Testament, which is New Testament. Right? Yep. Okay. Now, go back to Gospel of John. Is Gospel of John in New Testament or Old Testament? In New Testament. After where? Gospel of John. So first of all, you have Gospel of Matthew, Gospel of Mark, Gospel of Luke, and then Gospel of John. John 15, 16. Go back to the question that I have for you people. If you want your prayer to be powerful, what should you do? Study? Bring non-believer to the church or to Bible study so that they be able to hear the word of God. You know what? If someone don't invite me to go to the church, I will never go to the church. Why would I go to the church? I don't know that I have to go to the church. Only Christians know that they have to go to the church. Non-Christians don't know. So you have to invite them to come. Otherwise, they won't come. They don't know they have to come. They are busy in doing their own thing every day, right? They don't know they go to hell. On top of that, they don't even know they have the evil spirit within their heart. The evil spirit is evil and deceiving and lie to you and give you word of falsehood. But the Holy Spirit give you word of truth. The Holy Spirit let you understand the gospel, the good news of your salvation. But the evil spirit want you to be destroyed in hell. You understand? It is very dangerous. Christopher, where's all your friends now? Did you beat him up so that he didn't come? No? So where's your friend?
Ethan didn't
want to
come.
He didn't want to come, right?
I don't know.
Okay. No problem. You did a good job already. Keep praying for them, right? Just like your daddy, mommy praying for you so that you can understand the Bible. You don't understand the Bible right away because people pray for you. People teach you God's word, right? Now, do you understand now? How can your prayer be answered? According to 15:16 of Gospel of John, what should you do?
Bring non-believers to the church.
How do you bring non-believers to the church? You have to interact, befriend with non-Christian. You don't beat him up, right? You befriend to him so that he loves to follow you, right? Then you bring him in, tell him you should hear about the gospel, and let them make a decision once they hear that, okay? And if they say to you, oh, I got a lot of pressure when I go to a church, you know, I feel I'm pressured to believe in Jesus. That pressure is not only from the Holy Spirit, that pressure also from what? From the evil spirit. Because the evil spirit wants you to believe or not believe? Not believe. But the Holy Spirit wants you to what? And then you are struggle. Oh, evil spirit say to me, don't believe. And Holy Spirit say to me, believe, right? What should I do? Under a lot of pressure, isn't it? I give you another illustration. Even though you become a Christian, let me tell you one more thing. If you are not moved by the Holy Spirit, then you are moved by the evil spirit. I'm talking about Christian. I'm not talking about non-Christian. I give you a proof. Okay? Would you please turn to Matthew chapter 16? 5 minutes ago, Peter, the Apostle Peter, was moved by the Holy Spirit. And then 5 minutes later, Apostle Peter was moved by the evil spirit, the devil. Matthew chapter 16. Let me read that to you. I want to give you a detailed understanding of that. So I read starting from 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea, to Philippi, he asked his disciple, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others say Jesus is Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked. Who do you say I am? Circle the word 16. Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. His answer is dead on. And then Jesus replied, verse 17, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. I say that again. The reason why Simon Peter know the right answer when Jesus asked them, who do you say I am? Peter say, you are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God. And then Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon Peter, for this was not revealed to you by man. This was revealed to you by the Holy Spirit, by my Father in heaven. In other words, in our daily life, you either move, motivate, encourage, strengthen by the Holy Spirit, or you are destroyed by the evil spirit. Okay? Now, 5 minutes later, I keep reading it, then you see the danger of it. Verse 18, Jesus say, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gate of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he warned his disciple not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. Verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciple that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed on the third day, be raised to life. When I read from 17 to 21, it's less than 5 minutes. That means 5 minutes later, Peter took Jesus aside in verse 22 and began to rebuke Jesus. Never, Lord. I don't want you to be killed. No, don't go to Jerusalem. He said, never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Verse 23, Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man. I want to stop here. Who is speaking to Jesus in verse 22? Jerry? No, you turn to the Bible first. Chapter 16, verse 22. Who is saying to Jesus, never, Lord? He said, who is he?
Peter.
Peter said to Jesus, never, Lord, this shall never happen to you. Did he say because he's moved by the Holy Spirit, or did he say that he's moved by the evil spirit? Say it again. No, do you understand my question? You don't understand my question. Okay. Donald? When he say, never, Lord, Peter said, this shall never happen to you. Who moved him to say, never, Lord? The Holy Spirit? Just like 16:16? Or Satan moved him to say that? Satan. Satan moved him to say that. He could have said, I don't want to listen to Satan. You want to use my mouth? No way. I'm not going to say that. Right? But he said that. So he's a servant of Satan. He let his mouth to speak the word of Satan. How do I know? Verse 23, Jesus turned and said to Peter. He didn't say to Satan, he said to Peter. Did you see that? Jesus turned and said to Peter. He didn't say to Satan. And what did he say to Peter? Get behind me, Satan. 5 minutes ago, verse 16 and 17, Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Who revealed that to Simon Peter so that he can say that? Who? The Heavenly Father. 5 minutes later, the same person, the Apostle Peter, is more holy than you and I. And yet, he could be moved by Satan to be a servant of Satan, say what Satan say. So I'm saying to you, listen to me carefully. Not only the non-Christian has the evil spirit moving them all the time. From time to time, if you are not be alert, be careful. Satan can use your mouth, can use your life to destroy people's life. Can you imagine if Jesus listen to what Peter say and not go into Jerusalem and not die on the cross. Sally, will you be saved? So what's the point of studying Bible if Jesus Christ don't die for me? Isn't it dangerous? What have you learned, Moses, today? Could you just briefly tell me? You learned so much? No, I don't want you to say so much. Just briefly, I say.
Well, you have to be careful because, you know, even if you believe in Christ, you can easily get turned.
Be careful. Do you know why I want you to memorize Bible verses now? When you memorize Bible verses, then you know Jesus should go to Jerusalem or not to go to Jerusalem. When you memorize Bible verses, just like John Gospel, John chapter 15, verse 16, you know you don't just stay in the church. You have to go and bear fruit. Do you know why Pastor John keep going out? Do you know why now? Do you know why his prayer is powerful? Because I bear fruit that lasts. If the fruit lasts, my Heavenly Father will answer my prayer. Do you understand? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgression and sin. Verse 2, in which you used to live, when you follow the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Who is the ruler of the kingdom of the air? The spirit. That is the evil spirit. The spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. When you hear the word of God, you disobey God, you do not believe in God, that means the evil spirit is moving you. Ha-ha! Now you know how dangerous it is. Is it scary? David, do you understand what I say? Could you tell me what did I say? Tell me. I want you to share the gospel to your daddy, okay? Tell your daddy. Daddy, what is in your heart? Don't say that Pastor John said. I want you to take the responsibility. I say, I read it from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. I know what is in your heart. Let's prove it. Do you know how to speak to your daddy? Are you scared? What about you? So you two get it together, okay? When he share, you pray for him. And you pray for your daddy so that daddy, I pray that the eyes of my daddy's heart may be enlightened so that he understand what we share. Okay? You two team up together. Tell me the result next week. Now, you know what? According to the Gospel of John chapter 15, verse 16, if you go in barefoot and make your daddy become a Christian, whatever you are in need and ask God, say, God, isn't it you told me that whatever I pray in your name, now you listen to me? Because whatever you say, I listen to you. You tell me to go out and barefoot, I did that. Here, my daddy, now is a Christian. Good deal? Is it a good deal? Are you scared? No? Okay. So, I want you to learn it here, so that you know the danger of it and share your gospel to your close relative. You don't want to see your daddy, mommy to go to hell. You understand? You want them to be saved. Okay? Right? Do you want to see your daddy in heaven? Any question? 30. Point number 3. The third thing to know him, to know God better, the first one, to know the hope to be like him, because God calls to be like him. Secondly, to know the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saint, because God's going to use me to bring a lot of people to Christ. I want the same way in you. God wants to use you to bring a lot of people to Christ. And thirdly, to know his incomparably great power for us who believe. In other words, if you do not believe in His word, you believe in His word, that means you follow Him. You don't just hear His word, you obey Him, follow Him. Because if you disobey Him, the evil spirit is at work in those who disobey Him, right? The Holy Spirit is at work in those who obey Him. Now it's up to you. You want Moses, listen carefully, you want the Holy Spirit to be at work in you, or you want the evil spirit who is at work in you? And how can you have the Holy Spirit who is at work in you if you are obedient, if you obey God's word? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2, if you are the disobedient child, the evil spirit is at work in you. The evil spirit is at work in those who are disobedient, but the Holy Spirit is at work in those who are obedient. Now it's up to you. Now listen to me carefully. Do you remember what I just say? 16, 16, and 17? 5 minutes ago, Apostle Peter was moved by the Heavenly Father, by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit tell him that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the Most High God, right? Wow, 5 minutes later, he say, never, Lord, don't go to Jerusalem. It never happened to you. I don't want you to die on the cross. If Jesus Christ do not die on the cross, none of us will be saved. None of us will be saved. Chapter 2, verse 18. For through Jesus Christ, for through Him, we all have access. We both have access to the Father, the Heavenly Father, by one Spirit. If it's not through Jesus Christ, you can never have access to the Heavenly Father. You can never go to heaven. I thank God that Jesus Christ to die on the cross, to shed His blood, so that we have access to the Heavenly Father by one Spirit, through Him, through Jesus Christ. Satan did not want Jesus Christ to die on the cross. And Satan used his comrade, Jesus' comrade, close friend, say, never, Lord. Is it bad? Or is it good? It's bad, right? Jerry, do you learn anything, Jerry? Could you tell me what have you learned today? First of all, let me ask you the question. Do you want the evil spirit to be at work in you, within your heart, or you want the Holy Spirit to be at work within your heart? Holy Spirit. Now, it's not just I say with my word, oh, I want Holy Spirit to work in my heart. You have to do certain things. What do you have to do so that the Holy Spirit is at work within your heart? Obey Him, right? Obedient, chapter 2, verse 2. Disobedient child, why he disobey? Because evil spirit at work in him. Obedient child, why he obey? Because Holy Spirit work at you. You understand? You got that, that's good. I want to stop here. I don't want to infuse too many points. Three points to know Him better. George, could you tell me what's the three points? The first point. What's that hope stand for?
One, hope, to be like Him.
To be like Him. Second.
To know the riches of His glorious grace.
So what does it mean?
So
he want us to be fruitless life? He wants us to bear fruit. A lot of Christians nowadays, they don't bear fruit. That's bad. Your daddy and mommy wasn't come to know Christ. Why? Because we don't share the gospel. We should go to our relative. Call home in mainland China. Bring them to come to know Christ. When you bring them to come to know Christ, you bear fruit. Whenever you're in need, oh, Heavenly Father, I need this, I need that. Jesus say, don't worry, I give it to you because you obey me. You go and bear fruit. You bring your close friend and ready to come to know Christ. I listen to your prayer. Because God wants us to know what? the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. He wants to use your life, use my life to bear fruit so that his name be glorified. Right? Thirdly, what's the point number three? Verse 19. If I don't believe in God, God has no power in your life. If you believe in God, God's mighty power is in your life. Do you want God's powers in your life, or you want to be weak? It's up to you. You make a decision. All right? Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, I pray you hide your word within our heart. May your word be the lamp to my feet, a light to my path, so that I know what to do as we live in this world. To bear fruit, fruit that will last. Whatever we ask in your name, and I know the Heavenly Father will answer us. I pray all this in the name of Lord Jesus. Amen.